this is a toddler that I have to be around because I can't punt toddlers.
Captain's Pod, Stardate 11/20/94.1. Welcome aboard the Starship's Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave from the world of CinemaSins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, her reticular node is completely detached from her cortical lobe. It's Ambassador Danae. I read that wrong, but it's okay, it works.
Yeah, you forgot the line where, and she's singing about it. That's the part that you forgot.
Yeah, I was gonna do that, or like she enjoys singing to the her colleagues that she tortures, but then it was too wordy. But just sing anyway. That was amazing.
What just happened?
You tried to direct me. I did,
and make me stop singing my beautiful voice.
My equipment
and
stopped
then you hurt
me.
Yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So don't you dare! Don't you stop her? Let her
that's
sing.
What happens. You should never try to stop me from my beautiful singing.
Nope. Speaking of beauty, it's romance month, Ambassador. It's the month
that's
of
that's such a bullshit lead-in. Hold on. Let's speaking of trash heaps, it's the da-da-da-da-da.
Speaking of beautiful
speaking
things.
Of the most annoying sound you could ever hear, it's love time.
Yes. Speaking of things we all hate, it's Valentine's month, and we have tangentially decided to do some of the more lovey episodes of Star Trek, with the caveat that they are unconventional and recommended by you, the listener.
I'm really excited for this new season of Captain's Pod.
Me too. Is it a new season? Am I redoing
Isn't
the numbers?
It? Like when we
oh,
when
no.
we switch when we switch oh, over into no. a new category, don't we do a different season?
Yeah, but that means I've got a that means the star date at the beginning is wrong. Oh,
well then, fucking
bollocks.
Fix it.
No,
let's
it's
go
fine.
Back.
Next week we'll just
no, it's not. No. You keep doing this.
We're doing a new season. Oh gosh,
it's a
dang
new
it.
Season.
Okay,
yeah.
Disregard previous log entry. Captain's Pod 12/20/94.1.
Oh, Jesus
there we
Christ.
Go. Computer, amend that log. Fix it in. I ain't fixing it in post because that's not going to make any sense. But, however, monsters are behind us. We are now going into some lovely episodes. We're staying with the Q and, damn it, we're staying with Voyager and hitting the Q and the Grey. But before that, we have an email. Emails. Okay, hailing frequencies open, everyone. It's time for us to read your emails from Discord, Twitter, and, well, email. But we will not be doing that today.
No, we're not. We're not.
What's wrong?
Good, because I don't want to be in the shuttle bay anymore. I kind of want to get in the shuttle eventually. I just keep looking over at it, and I'm like, can we just read our emails someplace
they're
else?
They're not allowed. You're not. That's oh, okay. Those right. are completely off limits. There's a very good reason for that. But no,
I wish
the answer.
If we were a cartoon right now,
yes.
it would be like close up to Danae's eyes where she just keeps looking over
and
at the shuttle.
And they're so big, and you're as soon as
you
I
just told me, like, you just said I can't do something because something is secret. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I start reading the email, and you're just like walking over in the background, already just sat on the shuttle. It's amazing.
Yep.
We're doing something different this week because we actually have an audio message that has been sent to us that we're going to listen to. Love this.
How does this work? Did they send it on Discord?
No, send it as an MP3 file on by email.
Oh, that's awesome. Should we get a Captain's Pod a phone number where people can call in with their questions?
Yeah, I don't know how that... Is that even necessary? Can't they just...
None of this is necessary.
Do it on an email?
Like everything we're doing is not necessary.
Here is the hotline.
Oh, can I do it?
Yeah, if you want. Is that a thing that we can do? Do we have the technology?
You just... When your voice, you're just like, yeah, like, I'm sort of so scared.
Yeah. So here is a lovely audio from Mr. Ken Holthauser, who did not give me a pronunciation. So, hope that was right.
Greetings, Captain Ian and Ambassador Danae. This is gentleman cartoonist Ken Holthauser. I wanted to drop you a quick line to congratulate you on this great podcast that I've been enjoying for so long.
Thanks, Ken.
And to express my, my considerations for the most recent episodes you've done.
Now, this email came in a couple of weeks ago, and it's in reference to a string of season one episodes we did from The Next Generation. And there was we kind of talked a little bit about how this is like Conspiracy and Skin of Evil, where Tasha dies, and the head gets exploded during the monster episodes. And we were just like, season one is a little bit dated. And we had like some, all of us kind of had some criticisms about season one. And I think Ken is going to take us to task.
For a lot of people, especially people who were watching television back in 87, 88, there are poor opinions, I think, of Star Trek The Next Generation season one. There's some of it, I think, is colored by the time. Some of it, I think, is colored by a certain fandom interest in the purity of the original series. But having picked up a relatively cheap Blu-ray set of season one, which has been upscaled, and watching it with fresh eyes, season one is actually a pretty good primer for Star Trek The Next Generation. I think it is a good, slow way to introduce the characters, kind of get a feel for the universe. And remember, this is a production company that is trying to figure out how to do Star Trek all over again.
I love that point because, like, just that, man, Star Trek went off, the original series went off the air in 69. Nice. And then comes, back in 87. Like,
yeah.
And nowadays, you wait 20 years and you reboot something and you do a sequel. Like, there's a new Constantine movie coming out with Keanu Reeves 20 years after the original. And it's like, that's just kind of normal now. But back in the day, if you're off the air for 20 years, you're dead. Like, nothing is happening. And, like, TNG comes back and is reinventing the Star Trek wheel. Like, they did have a lot to live up to.
There's hiccups, there's bumps. That's going to happen with every television series. But I will tell you that I think, pound for pound, this is a really good season of fun, colorful, thought-provoking sci-fi television. So the fact that you did two episodes that were set during the infamous first season and came out of it really enjoying what they had to say warms my heart immensely.
We actually did have a pretty good time with those episodes. Like,
yeah,
Conspiracy, I remember being like, wow, what are we doing with like horror in Star Trek and a huge conspiracy? And Skin of Evil was like, murder Tasha. Like, super dark episodes.
I cannot wait to hear your thoughts for Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Oh my god, oh no.
So this obviously came in before Darmok. Sorry, Ken.
Oh, Ken, like, you're regretting sending that message so much right now, because historically now we know that was a low point for me.
I'm so happy you loved these episodes of Star Trek. I can't wait to hear what you think of Darmok.
Oh, no. And this is an interesting point to say. I have still been thinking about that episode because, you know, this show, we watch it, we immediately react to it, so we don't go back and say, hey, how is this hitting you after all this time? It's just we move on so quickly. And I have been thinking about what stands out to me from that episode still, and I'm still not really sure that it's like one that like that I would go back to. I'm sorry, Ken. Oh god, Ken. I want this gentleman cartoonist.
Yeah, gentleman cartoonist. That.
What is a gentleman cartoonist?
It's a cartoonist that is a gentleman. But my biggest shock from that episode was how much of like our live show and emails agreed with you as well. I can't remember an email that said I quit. Like, the ambassador has pushed me too far. I can't have this. They basically agreed with your point of view.
Well, I don't. I'm glad to know that other people obviously are, that I'm not so far on the other side of opinion. I mean, I have been in the past, and it's just like you have to kind of be okay with it every once in a while. Yes. But I'm really enjoying this voice message. Is that all, or is it a little bit more?
No, there's more. Back to Ken.
Okay.
I will be watching, listening, and probably sending more sketches your way as time goes on.
Sketches?
We do have some sketches.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Sorry.
Not sketches of us. Although... Ken, if you would like to do some sketches.
Well, no, I want
to
see a sketch. What is it? Show it to me. Show it to me.
Hang on a minute. Okay.
I mean, this is a podcast, so this is awful. We'll put it up on Discord. We'll set it up on Twitter.
We'll put it in like Twitter in the episode description as well. X. Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, if you go onto X, Ken has tagged us in a lot of his pictures and drawings as well, so you can definitely see them on there.
Okay. Back to Ken.
I'm still pushing for a muck time during your Valentine's Day episode. Hint, hint. But until then, this is Gentleman Cartoonist Ken Holzhauser signing off. Live long and podsper.
Oh, live long and podsper to you too, buddy. Ken.
Thank you, Ken. That was voice, awesome. What a silky, velvety, lovely voice. That was perfect introduction to Valentine's.
I loved that so much. Thank you for your message. And I continue to, one of my favorite parts of doing this show with you that I didn't expect is the fans that have been around for a long time having a different perspective about like when it was on TV and having memories of it being on TV, and then an excitement that we, you know, can connect to something together. Yeah. Like the fan base is really fun.
Oh, I love it. And we have a great email next week specifically from somebody that's going to share a memory about Star Trek and a new addition to their family as well, which I just think is freaking adorable. Send us more audio, send us video, send us whatever you want. I always ask first before including it in the show. So Ken was happy for us to share his audio with you all. And I think he makes a great point. Season one does get begrudged, hated. It doesn't get liked very much. And I think there are some really strong episodes in there. It just pales in comparison to like season three onwards. And I think it's lumped in with season two, which is a pile of shit. Ken, I'm on board with you. I'm on board with you, sir. Now, Ken did mention a mock time for one of the Valentine's episodes. This is a TOS episode. This is a bam, 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 bam. It's that episode with that music. To disappoint some of you, we will not be doing that episode for a very specific reason that is to do with Strange New Worlds. And I think that'll be enough context as like a those who know kind of thing for why we won't be doing it. So just to ease any anticipation or any disappointment, we will not be doing Amok Time yet.
But also, if you're angry with Captain Ian for his choices, send him an email.
They're not my choices, they're your choices.
Captainspod@cinemasins.com. Rail him.
Do it. Okay, Ambassador, we're staying with Voyager. It's time for the Q in the Grey. Are you excited to get Q back? Because I nearly did a series on Q, but I remember you saying you were kind of like frustrated with him or a little bit fed up of Q. So I'm really interested to see how you're feeling about seeing Q's our first interaction with Q and Voyager.
I have some, you know, memories with Q, and he's definitely one of those characters that has so much power. You wonder,
broken,
like you, yeah,
it's just
like,
broken.
Yeah, you kind of have to just suspend any sort of like when a show introduces a character that's so powerful or a plot point that is so powerful, and then it gives itself boundaries so that no one dies or like everything turns out okay in the end. You know, it's just because of plot. It's because plot. Ding. You know,
we have to write ourselves out of this.
Yeah. So from what I remember, Q is often introduced as the person, as the being that is testing humanity. And that's sort of like, he likes playing with his food, and we are his food. Or we're his entertainment. You know, he's bored. He's a bored super god out there in the cosmos somewhere. And so, yeah, I don't really think that there's been something where I look at Q and I think, aw, I really like this character because he makes me feel good. It's more like this is a toddler that I have to be around because I can't punt toddlers.
That's going to be the best cold open ever. Oh,
but
no.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Like,
I wish it was okay to punt toddlers.
That's the headline. That's what you said.
That's
just
amazing.
There's a couple times in my life where I've been stuck with toddlers, and it's like I can't do anything about this.
I can't kick you. I need to do something
until my daycare, you know, moment is done, and the next person comes to replace me, or it's my own toddler, and I'm, you know, she and I have to learn how to get along. So it's like you're just sort of stuck in for the episode where you're just tied to this creature that's very annoyed by your humanity, and the show is trying to make a point. That said, the person who plays Q is fun to watch. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what's the guy from Jurassic Park?
Oh,
He's also in What If.
And yeah, he's in, the.
Oh, he's the watch. He's the Watchman or something. No.
The collector,
he's
the Grandmaster,
the Guardian, or no. He's the.
The Grandmaster?
No, the Grandmaster. Yeah.
Oh, his character's name is Ian in Jurassic Park, and his actual name is...
I love how we're deciding not to Google in this
Jeff
moment.
Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum, that's
it. Jeff Goldblum, because... And he is just, eccentric. He would have made an incredible Q. Just chaos. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a way that... And who plays Q?
John DeLancey.
John DeLancey. There's a way that he performs it that is really fun. And that's what I like about Q, is the performance. It's not always the story for me.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I don't think we would still be talking about Q, or that he would ever come back, if John DeLancey's performance wasn't so freaking unhinged and if he wasn't so incredible. He has defined... Like, there are aliens that... we would probably know way more about if John DeLancey had played them. Because like, oh yeah, we're bringing this alien back. This alien is great. No, the alien sucks. John DeLancey is great. Like that, he really makes it. And
if only he had played the salt monster, you know, we would know so much more.
Just plays every monster. I think a lot. I would perhaps say the majority of fans would probably agree with you. And they're incredibly frustrated by Q and his powers, and those stories kind of break science fiction, because it's not science fiction, it's basically fantasy when you get into Q's level of powers. Now there is some like extra flavor that you get in the later seasons of TNG with some of Q, like we haven't seen, in my opinion, together Q's best episodes, where we actually, he gets some humanity and we get some more texture to who he is among his people as well.
I don't know that I've ever seen him with his people before.
Exactly. That really helps.
There's a couple things too heading into this that I'm excited about. One, I get to see more of this character, because watching someone play pure ego is always interesting.
Just
in a way.
Yeah.
Two, I'd never seen Q with Voyager people. Mm-hmm. This will be my first time. And it's fun to think like, oh, this character transcended different, you know,
it gives me tingles. It gives me tingles, because it's not something that happened back in the 80s and 90s. You didn't really have this interweaving
of crossovers,
and now it's everything. So this is a big deal. Everything kind of had to stand on its own.
And then three, my final thought before heading into this is that my most recent experience with Q is in Picard, and sort of watching this character come to terms with like almost like his final temper tantrum.
Yeah, right. His final like just fucking puzzle.
His final thing that he's like, all right, I'm gonna have one last hurrah. I'm gonna fuck around one more time with my favorite people to fuck with before they die and I die. And then, you know, still find that kind of joy in his character somehow, in his quote unquote humanity development, the things that we as humans want to see in our characters. It seems to be, at least in storytelling, tells us that we really want to see people have a redemption arc. So I'm really curious to go into this. I still don't think I understand like the pendant that he wore in Picard.
Forget about it.
I feel like that was so purposeful.
It was.
And then like this whole like three-headed snake thingy going on. So I'm headed into this with a jumble of Q information, and why not just start off with a season about love with Q?
So there is one crucial bit of context that I do want to give you before we go into the episode. This is Q's second appearance on Voyager.
Okay.
His first appearance is because another Q appears on Voyager and basically says, I need asylum and I need your help, because I want to commit suicide. And I would be the...
Jesus Christ!
Eggs, which is why I'm not quite prepared to have our lighthearted sinning approach to that episode. It's an excellent episode, in my opinion, but a tricky one to tackle. Now, long story short, this Q is the first ever Q to want to do this and succeeds, long story short. They have this court case. He wins the court case and he's allowed to kill himself. This episode is kind of dealing with the consequences of that. That's all the context you need. And yes, it's about love. Unconventional love.
What a nice little transition we have from the monster episodes into this one.
I love it.
Huge thanks. Before we go on, huge thanks to you guys for sending in all of these episode suggestions, because it was kind of the first time we've done this before. So in this new season, I'm really, really excited.
Yeah.
No pressure, of course. I hope I don't hate your favorite stuff, but here we go.
Feel free to hate it. Let's go. Let's head over to the holodeck to watch the episode. We'll see you all in 10 forward for a full debrief. Tweet me, man. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab something from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode we just watched together. Most important question first, what is your thing of choice from the replicator and why is it consent? Right?
Yeah.
I forgot how problematic this episode is.
Yeah, that's a better answer. I was going to go with like rations or like maybe jerky or something.
Beans,
I'm gonna go with jerky.
Beans in a tin, just over an open campfire over the Civil War.
My perception of what tin beans, rations, and jerky would be in the continuum. That's what I'm gonna.
Correct. Whatever your perception of it would be, amazing.
Yeah.
I'm having beans in a tin and some consent and some cliches as well. Give us a synopsis.
Oh. Okay, if you've ever had a conversation with somebody in your life about what it means to date a person, the appropriate ways to approach a woman with your desires to date or fornicate, and there's confusion about what is and isn't appropriate, you can watch this episode together, and this episode will reveal to you not only what not to do, but also that, what's the guy's name? Turkey Patty? What's his name?
I really thought you were going to say Q. And I was like, I don't know how much more simple his name can be. Tom Paris.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Tom Turkey Paris Prater. Is the best part of this episode. He had so
what?
Listen to what Tom Paris says.
Yeah. Okay. No. And, yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it'll help to clarify if there's any confusion about inappropriateness, consent, etc.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I'll say. This is the episode to watch if you're ever having a discussion amongst your friend group about what is really toxic pursuit of a woman in media. This hits it all.
Oh,
this does everything you don't want to see in media.
All of it. But it knows it's doing it. It isn't saying anything.
Does it?
It does. It isn't saying anything about it being right. It is probably making light of it more than we would today, but this is the 90s. That doesn't mean it's acceptable, but in its time, this is Friends. This is exactly how Friends was doing this, but with a straight face. At least Voyager knows that this is some bullshit.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Now, from a Star Trek perspective, what we have is a Q war after one Q decided to be independent or something like that, and Q decided to become the leader of a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And his solution to make the war stop is to create a new species with a human. And in his very creepy way, attempt to coerce, convince, and force a woman to have his child and raise it to save the Q kind. Why do we care about Q kind? Because just like toxic friendships that are in another relationship can leak over into your life if you're friends and adjacent, so too can Q's bullshit leak over into our reality.
Oh,
and
yes.
Really just, there's a continuum fuck-uppance going on. That's a word I just made up.
Continuum fuck-uppance. That's exactly what was happening. So, yeah.
Will everybody turn out okay? Well, watch the Civil War and find out.
Overall thoughts and feelings, Ambassador.
This is a big skip for me.
Okay, so specifically,
but at the end of it, I think I now was more comfortable with where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I would skip it, though, and I have decided to say skip as my confident, is it takes so fucking long. This is such a long episode. This is the slow episode that just decides that its big reveals are going to be so it's so uncomfortable, because you know Q is fucking with Janeway but wants to both actually fuck with her, but is, instead of just stating what's going on, like they save that little bit of information for late enough in the episode that I kind of don't give a shit anymore. Like, it's kind of not as interesting to me. The interesting part of this episode to me is this whole idea
that you can enter into this continuum.
Yes.
And see what you want to see. The idea that everyone inside that space was likely seeing something different, but it was some sort of a combination of their realities that resulted in giving food. Like, that piece of food is something different for everyone. And that's really interesting to me. Like, I wanted to live in that sort of realm for a while. You know, obviously, Janeway is obsessed with the Civil War, because that's what we're seeing, which is sort of weird, but whatever.
That would be interesting, but I don't think it's what they did. I think it was Q chose that perception for them as a way for them to interpret everything. I don't
think... Then how did everybody else join their reality, man?
Exactly, completely agree. But he does say, like, this is just a way for your brain to perceive it, not this is how your brain is perceiving it. Like, he's put together.
I want to dig into that. Yeah. That's the interesting part for me where I wanted to sit and kind of like
this realm
get into
that they're in. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of this idea that like you're plebeian, and even the woman Q says at this point, and she's like, you can't perceive it. It's like, yeah, it's because your writers can't write an explanation. This is the biggest thing.
Like, don't even try to explain it because we're not going to try and write it.
Yeah. So I feel like my desire to watch this after seeing it would sort of just be the particular part of, I maybe need the last 15 minutes of this episode. That's kind of where it kicks off for me.
That's exactly how I feel about it. I like this episode because I grew up with it, and it wasn't like as weird like when I was watching it when I was 10. It was more like, oh yeah, Q's doing Q shit. But for me, like, the interesting crux of this is that the Q are having a civil war. It ties back to something that happened in a previous episode. And Lady Q is just... I love her so much. She's amazing. But yeah, it takes so freaking long to get to the mystery and to get to the real reason why Q is doing what Q is doing. I think they spend way, way too long on the Q trying to seduce Janeway and lying about his real motives and all of that nonsense. And I think they had fun with it, and then the joke just went too far. For me, it kicks into gear when Lady Q arrives, but we've already had, like, half of the episode is Q being Q, and it's like, we get it. Like, we've seen this done so many times. We all know there's something else going on here. Can we get on with it?
I like the idea. I think that, like, what the writers are going for here is that this... RQ has come up with this idea that to unite the war of the Q people, we need to have a new being that can basically carry the idea of peace or like hope, that all Qs could look at this child as some kind of a symbolic evolution amongst their people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that's interesting, and I kind of would like to explore that more. Like, I don't understand why this highly intelligent Q species hasn't considered conversation, because this episode is presenting that because they cannot have conflict resolution amongst themselves, despite their intellect and despite them having been around for billions of years. Like, if the show would have said, we're kind of bored and we want to have a war, I would have believed that, I think, more than I would believe, you know, that this messiah child, which is exactly how Q describes
it. Q Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But that's the solution. And by the time we get to the end of the episode, we're sort of yada-yadaing over that idea. Like, because Janeway convinces Q that he should, you know, procreate with his own kind, which has never been done before. I have so many questions. And that's okay.
They will not be
like,
answered.
It's okay. It's okay that the Q have never tried to, you know, figure that out before. Like, why have they not figured out? That's where I wanted to spend my time, you know, kind of understanding this creature and things like that. And we see the baby at the end, and it's, you know, already, around and, you know, exists and is probably going to be the destruction of the world, you know.
You've hit on exactly what I, this time round, disliked about it, is that the thing I most want them to explore is what they're least interested in exploring, and it's really, for me, like, to the detriment of, like, the theme and the episode, because the idea of the first Q suicide sparking this civil war of choice versus the status quo is fascinating. That's so freaking interesting. Yeah. That's amazing. But this episode focuses on ending the Civil War because of a baby. And Q has come up with this nonsense way to stop the Civil War that Janeway calls out as nonsense, but then works. And it's it does seem to work.
Or it's that Q's side, his warring side, won the battle because Voyager joined at the end, and they kind of like turned the tide a bit. So whether or not the child actually did bring the peace that the show was speculating there, or that Q himself was speculating would happen, whether that happened or not, that's not even clear. Like they could still be having all kinds of problems as a species. We really aren't. No. We're kind of like left to sort of assume that everything is okay.
Well, because that other general is held over a barrel, and it's like, either you go along with our solution or we kill you now. So you're right. They don't even dive into how this worked, why it would work, why they agree that this is going to work. They're just, it's blackmail. It's such a weird thing to focus on. And I think the thing is, they loved the idea of Q trying to seduce Janeway, and everything else went out the window, and it's putting the cart before the horse.
And I kind of like that. That's what I'm hoping didn't happen, but it does feel like that. It feels like there was a moment where like the producers of the show became really great friends with like Dr. Quinn Medicine Women creators. Do you remember that show?
No, never watched it. We had it, but I never watched it.
Okay. Just the idea that you have these like period pieces where you've got these gowns and, you know, these like these sets, and it's like, man, we really want to use this. How can we use this? And so they're just sort of like crafting this idea together because they do want to see Q come in and a love interest situation. But it that's not to say that there weren't some redeeming parts of this show. Like I thought the writers were doing some pretty great stuff, especially when Janeway was really talking to Q about family.
That that's the bit that really
singing for me.
Yes.
I loved that scene.
Yeah, that's what sang for me too. And I was writing down some of it, and it's just, I almost wish we'd got there sooner, because Janeway spells out like, that's not love. Like, I'm not gonna have a baby with somebody I don't love. Like, that's not, this isn't gonna cure the thing that you think it's going to cure. And for me, like, that brings it home, because I'm like, oh, thank goodness this isn't what the writers think.
Q was, he was approaching like, your genetics that led to compassion, peace, and love will be a part of this new child, because you're not only going to bear it, you're going to raise it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I wrote down part of her speech, and it was, love, compassion are attributes that developed over centuries. They're passed through generations, taught by parents to children. Mm-hmm. Creating a new Q is a noble idea, but it will take more than impregnating and walking away. If you want offspring to embrace ideals, you have to teach it yourself.
So good.
And it was like, yes, that is such a great thing to teach a Q, to try to like bring this billion year old existing since time. Mm. There was never a before. There was always a Q.
Yeah.
That the way that humanity evolved to have an ability to have peaceful conflict resolution was through parenting and attributes, not through DNA. And that was like a huge... If there's a reason to watch this show, this episode rather, it would be maybe the point right before Q snaps and takes Janeway into a novel, whatever, like takes her into this period piece. Because there's just some really interesting conversations to be had there where you can see these two actors really wrestling with this idea of what will bring about peace when there is war.
Yeah.
And also they're kind of presenting RQ as this revolutionary leader in this new thought of independence and free thinking, which of course we like rally towards, right? We want to have our ability to have free speech and independence. But when you start to question like bringing in a Jesus, and it's like, whoa, what are we doing here? And that scene with Janeway just kind of leveled it down, and she has to endure Q, which is one of the reasons these are always a hard episodes for me, because like you have to endure this character.
There's a lot of enduring in like the beginning half of the episode,
and I can't help but wonder if he had somehow succeeded in seducing Janeway at the beginning, which I don't think could have ever happened given Janeway's character.
No.
What I don't know a ton about her, but I loved how strong and clear she was, and how and it was very cringy to watch Q continue to pursue her. But I do have to wonder, like, okay, so what if that had worked? So you would have not had shared any of the other information, not have shared that her life would be forever in the continuum. Like, you would have just seduced her, left her to raise a baby, and then kidnapped them both later so that the continuum would, like, the storyline of if that first part had worked really falls apart. That this show had to have that moment when he finally comes clean with what is more. Mm-hmm. And the only reason it really works for me and isn't super cringy, like never will watch again kind of a thing, is because Janeway was smart enough to go, there's more here, just keep talking to me. And they're just as annoyed at Q as we are. So
yeah, that is for me the thing that saves the episode from being completely relegated to cheesy, stereotypical, creepy man advances on woman, must play hard to get, is how quick Janeway is to say, this is bullshit. Like, I'm not even going to entertain this. Stop it. I'm barely going to even turn you down because I know that you're after something else. Can we just skip to that stuff? And the whole crew are just like, can we skip? Like, can we skip there, please? I just wish the episode had listened and skipped quicker as well. Like, the seduction and stuff goes.
It's very slow. Yeah. And also, how fun was it in that, like, where I would have started the episode, right? In that moment where there's a supernova and RQ snaps and steals away Janeway to have, like, their okay, now we're actually talking about what's going on moments. But you also have this female Q who takes over Voyager and forces them to retrofit and do all this crazy stuff that I'm guessing is never brought up again. But they do some crazy stuff with their ship. And she's just like, I'm in charge, oh plebeian. And you have our beloved Voyager crew giving her hell because her powers are gone. That was fun to watch.
I was going to ask, that's my next thing, honestly. Like, Susie Plaxton, how did you like Lady Q?
Oh, she was very down the nose, wasn't she?
I wasn't talking about the puppy.
Over dramatized, but if I had lived for one billions and billions of years, I suppose I would talk like that too.
She's amazing. I love her so much. She's the reason to watch this episode. This Lady Q that in so many ways acts exactly the same as Q, just in this like condescending, you are amoeba to me. It is so frustrating that I must depend upon you. And just to have her, like, taken down a few pegs. But she, even though she doesn't have her powers, she is still just, like, as if she still does. She is just, like, so confident. Fun. So fun.
I really enjoyed her. Like, I didn't even mind that the vocalization was just this sort of, like, looking down the nose of, because that is the race. Like, they've been around for a really long
That's
time.
That's exactly
so,
what they are.
I think it was a welcome. There's still some cliches in here with how RQ interacts with Lady Q and how just demeaning he is and calling her the ball and the chain and all this stuff.
She nags me. No wonder why I left her.
Yeah, it's no wonder. Yeah, me and the little son had to get away from the old ball and chain wife and that stuff is just like, okay, yeah, let's continue to perpetuate that.
But I kind of want a little bit more like Q fighting between them two. I want to see like a Q duel between the two of them, just like snapping their fingers and like just messing with everything.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying, is if the episode had started in that realm, I feel like we could have gotten some more of it.
Yeah.
And then by the time that they get to where she's there rescuing RQ, and she's kind of messing with him. And then we have that kind of funny back and forth, like, idea of how they're going to have sex.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they just link their fingers and Janeway lovingly is like, that's it. And RQ is like, hey, listen, it's too late. You've already made your choice. That was funny to me.
When I was younger, I used to always think, wait, was that Janeway's issue? Like, she was just worried that it was going to be too involved. I was like, no, the actual issue is that why didn't you just do this to begin with if it's that easy?
Exactly. That's how I interpreted it. Yes, she was like, correct. If this is all it takes, and we went through all that shit because you guys couldn't touch fingers, like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
But also, it is very dangerous to have 90 years of floor play. That is not okay.
They're cute for humans. That can kill absolutely. A human. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that would be, like, you would die.
Kill a human. But yeah, 90 years, that's. She's not going to be surviving that. It's too much.
It's too much.
Too much of a good thing. So we've done Susie Plex, and she's great. This is not the first time she's appeared in Star Trek. She played love interest for Worf as well. And she is incredibly...
With like Klingon prosthetics? With
Klingon prosthetics, completely amazing. Klingon. Same voice as well. Her voice is unmistakable. And this is exactly how like she talks to Worf. She's like, growl for me, Worf. I love it when you growl. And like, the same tone. It's so great. She's an absolute gift. It's amazing. I have a question about Chakotay in this episode. How did you feel about his reaction? Because it sticks out like a sore thumb to me when he is immediately indignified by Q, when Janeway explains what Q's proposition was. And then he's just like, oh, I have no right to feel this way, but it bugs the hell out of me. Did that hit you in a certain way, or was it just me?
Let me tell you what was happening inside my brain in that moment. So during the episode, at this particular part, Chakotay walks into Janeway's office, and he has this little kind of, like, there's something about the way that he is emoting that I thought was different. Mm-hmm. And he has kind of like a little bit of an awkward grin going on, and I don't know if the actor was uncomfortable and sort of unable to like relax the face muscles mm-hmm. back to how normally he looks a little more serious. This time he had a different expression, and it was not a lot, but I noticed it. I wrote down in my notes, is this Q?
Oh, interesting.
I assumed that. So in the previous scene, basically Q realizes that his sexual harassment isn't working on Janeway.
Right, yeah.
So he snaps his fingers to try the next thing. And so my assumption was that he then moved her into a space where she thought she was on Voyager, and he was going to do the long game and try to like get her attention. So because Chakotay was acting differently, I thought that it was Q pretending to be Chakotay.
Got it. That's really interesting, because it does feel out of character, even from like the little snippets of Voyager that you've had. Now, it makes a little bit more sense, because in the early days, they were doing this will they won't they thing a little bit with Chakotay and Janeway.
The only way that it I caught that was because I think when she puts her hand on him like, to kind of calm him, I think it was his face and not his...
I think it was his elbow.
Was it his elbow?
Yeah, no, it was on his elbow. Yeah.
It just had a little bit of that like personal sort of like, no, it's fine. But in the next... then Q appears, mm-hmm. so then my little delusion about what was actually happening disappears, and I'm in our reality, like in the show, in the episode's reality, and Janeway very quickly says, there isn't anything going on, like, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
So the show reestablishes that Janeway is a single person, has chosen mm-hmm. to be a single person, and is maintaining that boundary, and I really appreciated that statement, because it did confuse me a little bit about if they were attempting to do something relationally.
Yeah, and they directly address it in an episode where they basically get stranded. Chakotay and Janeway get stranded on a planet, and after a few weeks or a couple of months or something, Chakotay's just like, shall we? And Janeway's just like, no, like, we shouldn't. But it's a little bit, there's a little bit of like wavering. But Chakotay is like
funny.
All for it, and Janeway's just like, it's not a good idea. And then they get
good for
back
her.
To the ship, and they kind of leave it to die there. But there have been so many people shipping Janeway and Chakotay, and I'm like, good for you, no, but it's in our nature to put these people together. But I think it is to the show's credit that Janeway never does, and Janeway is just, I'm captain, I'm getting my crew home. They didn't feel the need to give her a man to support her, which I love.
Listen, I have to say, we don't usually reference the chat, but Polly just said, Janeway and Tom do it eventually as salamanders, and if this is not part of what we're watching during the season, I'm pissed.
No, it's not. It's not love.
That is unconventional love right there, okay?
If I included Threshold as the episode in this run, you would be so mad. The first question you'd be like, well, that's not a fucking love story. It's not even unconventional.
Yes, it is. It would be so tangential.
It has nothing to do with that. I'm so mad right now. It has nothing to do with love. The chat would correctly riot.
The chat is supporting you. Oh my God. We've got Let's Do It. So we've got Danae, you don't want this. Danae will die. Okay, okay.
We
listen,
will
all I'm
Threshold.
Saying.
Threshold. I want to do a series
no, I, I'm
of
fine
like,
not. I regret this choice to bring it up. I am so I sorry. Chat, stop distracting me.
I want to do a series on like infamous episodes of Star Trek. And that'll be, there's a few of them from Voyager.
I do want to go,
terrible.
So to kind of go back onto the Janeway though.
Yeah.
I don't kind of wish. I mean, who doesn't wish they're a fly on a wall during decision-making processes mm-hmm. for anything? But like, I just imagine that at the top of the chain of Voyager, there is someone who made the decision that Janeway was not going to have sexual relations with her crew or anyone.
Yeah.
And I imagine that there were many writers who wrote in love angles and love stories in an attempt to get Janeway to potentially like break that part of her character or choose a different, you know, choose to have relations with someone. I don't know what those conversations were like, but whoever chose to keep that part that of her character design and stick to it and not alter it. We all know as writers, you can change whatever you want. You're writing it.
Yeah.
But somebody has to make that final call.
Someone has to be the gatekeeper.
I would be surprised if people didn't.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Attempt to go and change that part of her character. And I would be surprised if someone didn't have to say, the answer is no, we're not doing it. And I want to say thank you to that person.
There are episodes where she gets romantic and has a love interest and... But it's never anybody that's on the crew, and it's with like an alien or something. And love does play a role into it, but it's like rare. It's super, super rare, and it's most of the time in service to the story. But yeah, they are very protective about not having her be the seduced or seducer and keeping her extremely professional.
I like that.
I think it's to the show's benefit as well.
I continue to like Janeway's character, her way of just being like, "Q, you're an insolent child. Get away from me.
You are the toddler.
The answer is never under any circumstances." Like she's so clear, and yet she knows she has to endure Q, and then she still finds a way to try to help him understand where he's at, and then she adapts to her circumstances, and she almost dies in this episode.
Yeah.
She's going to be executed, and RQ has this moment where he realizes he's sucked her into this, and he pleads for her life, which I didn't see coming, and then he apologizes, and she says, "I know," and that was going to be her final words in her lifespan.
Yeah.
And you know, that was an interesting moment too. Again, like this show kicks for me in that last 15, you know, 20 minutes.
The whole Civil War thing really works for me. You could have had, I think today, I think season two of Picard could have been a Q Civil War. Like it could have, if they hadn't done it back then, it would have been way more interesting to me. Like there is, how do omnipotent beings hurt each other? Like Q has a great line where he's like, you'd be amazed what ingenious ways of like hurting each other an omnipotent being can come up with when you're trying to kill somebody that's immortal. Like, The roundabout thinking you have to go to when at your base level you are immortal and how you get around that, like, that's fascinating to me. Like, there's so much to do. It sucks that they go with this baby Queezus.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's sort of like when you find a restaurant that you have to walk through a really disgusting vibe to get to the table, but the food is good at the very end.
Yeah,
but you had your journey to get to that juicy bit.
Yeah,
it still impacts what you're watching.
Of course, yeah, there's a fun.
But I think
comment
at the end of this episode, you kind of learn a little bit more about the Q species.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a little bit more about Janeway's character, which is nice. You learn that Qs can create puppies, and then instantly they don't exist anymore. And
interestingly, I think we learn more about the Q continuum in this episode than we do in any other episode, just by Q saying the Q have always been there. That answers a huge question, because up until this point, the assumption was that they elevated themselves, like they evolved. They were regular people, they evolved to a higher state. But now it's like, they're gods, they were at the beginning. Gods. They've been there before time. Like, that's amazing.
There was never not a queue. And I keep going back to it. I don't want to hit it too hard because I know we're going to get to the sins here in a second. But like the scene where they're inside this house and we're having cannon fire and we're having gunfire and you hear the battle getting closer and closer and they're just fucking up this set and there's just all this stuff going on. It's really impactful. But what made it really interesting to me is like, what does the actual weapon look like?
Yes. You know?
I understand my little plebeian mind might not be able to perceive and comprehend, but when he looks down at his bleeding body and is like,
I love
oh, shit,
that. He is
that
shocked.
That actually is doing something
that
to me.
Hurt. It's so
what
good.
What does this weapon really look like?
I want to know the mechanics. That's exactly what I'm saying. I want to know the mechanics. I want to see the flashes of light. Like, I'm imagining, like, they use their powers to, like, infinitely age each other or put them into, like, pocket dimensions or, like, split their molecules. Like, the defenses that they would have to come up with and go backwards and forwards. But Urshay just wasn't interested in doing that.
And then at the end, and this could be a sin, but then at the end, when Lady Q shows up and she has the humans, she says, humans are dumb, but they have our weapons, so.
Yeah, right.
And my question is, what the fuck?
I don't
so
like...
So that means that the Q weapon
don't do it.
Is an
don't
actual physical thing.
Yeah.
Or not, when you enter into the continuum and she hands you something you perceive as a weapon, it doesn't matter what it is. You just know that by doing the action of cursing someone or attempting to murder, it's going to work because it doesn't matter if you perceive, it matters that it's happening. Like, that shit is so fun to think about on a sci-fi level. My brain is just
I'm
like, ding, ding,
but
ding,
I have
ding,
to I have to shut it down and switch it off because it doesn't make sense, and that's probably it's my biggest sin of the
but it's interesting
sin of the episode. It would be interesting if they'd done anything with it, but
they did
no, but because of what they did with it, it makes no sense. Like, why doesn't the other Q just change their perception of reality? Like, why are they allowing the humans to understand what's happening? Like, it's been dumbed down to a civil war with muskets and guns so that the humans can understand it. Make them not understand. Like, show them the things that they're dealing with. Because you're right, it means that there's a physical weapon that they're holding that they can use. And that doesn't make sense for this, like, continuum of ethereal energy beings that probably aren't using a physical gun. Because they would just give them the physical gun. That they're using something on a molecular level that is pulling a part of Q apart. He doesn't have blood in his body. That's just a perception of what this incomprehensible weapon is doing. So make it incomprehensible. But we're asking things.
I don't
the
think
show
you can
can't.
Make it comprehensible.
No, you can't.
You can't. You can't. No.
You can't.
And
it
that's the
work.
Problem. And I think that's why you
that's
keep a little bit of a nebulous for those of us who are imaginative and figure out like how it all works. Yeah.
Q of Voyager should be dead. Immediate. Second they stepped into the continuum. Dead. Because you just don't use the Q weapons on them. You use your regular ass, snap on them, and you molecularize them. Anyway, I love Lady Q. She absolutely saved this episode. You, Helmboy! Tom's just like, what the fuck did you just call me?
I love
me?
It so much.
So good. Yeah. She's amazing. Q is great as usual, but yeah, this is a weird episode overall. How many pips out of 4, Ambassador?
I'm not going to talk about pips. We didn't even do predictions, so we're breaking all. This is
we
this
didn't
new
do predictions.
Season of Captain's
no.
Pod. We're not doing any of that.
You don't want to do pips at all?
No.
Okay.
Because we didn't do predictions, so you're obviously breaking the rules.
That is a non sequitur to end all non sequiturs. I'm giving this 2 pips out of 4. A little bit disappointing.
Yeah, that's about where I would have it. If I was doing pips, which of course I'm not. Yeah.
If you were doing pips, but you're not. Give me some predictions for the episode, Ambassador.
What do you think?
This is
we're
the
just going to go back in time
yeah,
or something?
This is the cue. This is how the I deliberately left the predictions to
not.
The end because
you fucking
because
forgot.
Of the cue. Yeah.
No,
sometimes,
you forgot.
Sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can tell you what. I would not have predicted a queasis.
A queasis? It sounds... It needs to be
like
queasis, not exactly. It's not going to be queasis.
A queefus?
Queasis, because that's queef. No, queasis. That's what it is. Yeah, other than measuring tattoos, mine's bigger. Anything else that you liked? Anything else you liked before we do some sins?
I didn't like that. That's a sin. Let's move on.
Okay, let's head over to engineering. Do some sins. Red alert, everyone.
Warning, warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
This is the part of the show where we re-engage our sin brains and remind ourselves that no TV show is without sin. Ambassador, you go first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how do I summarize? The show kind of, like, if I'm understanding, Q has never procreated, never had sex, mm-hmm, never, mm-hmm. like, or has had, but he says, I've never, like, done this before, so I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know how to coalesce my thoughts here.
Uh-huh.
I just don't believe that. I don't believe that after billions of years of observing all of these different kinds of creatures that have, all, you know, that they're the creepy, yeah, like, how's the peeping kind of cue people. Like,
no, I think he clearly understands sex, but he doesn't understand how the cue are going to do it. Because imagine the light beings that they are, the three-headed snake thing that they are. Like, their actual form, how does that procreate? Like, that I get. What I don't get is that they do it. Like, it can't be this unfathomable
after
thing,
a whisper,
right? That you don't, like, understand, and
it took
now
a little
works.
Creativity.
I
she whispers, let's touch snake heads,
basically,
and then
yeah.
That's just what it is. It just
but,
becomes.
But then on the other hand,
it
the,
becomes.
On the other hand,
all right, show folks,
the Q are so infinitely intelligent that it might just be a problem that they never put their minds to. So as soon as they then decide, oh, I'm going to solve this problem, they now have a solution. Because this is the problem with omnipotent beings. There should be no issues for them at all. And there aren't. It shouldn't even be an issue for Q.
I mean, maybe we're so finite in our thinking. We
yeah.
are humans on a floating planet in the middle of, you know, like, you and I cannot perceive the vastness of space.
No.
These beings have been around from the beginning of time. Maybe problems to solve look very different in other parts of our universe, mm-hmm. or the adjacent universe, or the universes that we share within universes. The complexity of it all is massive. Maybe after billions of years, they still haven't had a chance to stop and think, what would happen if we touch fingers? I don't know. But when he's talking to Janeway and he's like, I've never done it before, mm-hmm. It's weird to think that the answer to this episode is that instead of having sex, instead of procreating with his own brilliant race, yeah. he's going to procreate with a race that they constantly make fun of.
Yeah. I mean, just the crux of his plan is my immediate sin. It's just so... He's meant to be super intelligent, but this plan is dumb. Like, he hasn't thought this through. He thinks that the... And Janeway calls him out on it, so I don't even know... if it's a sin of the episode, but I think Q should have had this argument with himself when Janeway is like, it's not just the human genome that's going to help you here. It's the journey. It's raising a child. That's what's missing. If anything that you're arguing, that's what's missing from the Q is that you don't have the journey of growth and passing on knowledge. You just all are, which is why you're now stuck in a rut and fighting. And I'm just amazed Q doesn't come up with that on his own. And this plan that he does come up with is just nonsense.
It really is nonsense.
It really is nonsense. Any other thoughts on that? Because I don't know whose turn it is now. Because we both kind of bounced around
that
there.
That was literally the first sin, yeah. but I feel like it's the entire episode.
It's the whole episode. Mm-hmm. I do. This is so frustrating. This is the crew of the Voyager having any impact in the Q continuum. But it's encapsulated. We would pick one moment to encapsulate that. And it's when Tom fucking Turkey Platter Paris outflanks the Q general and then has a gun at his back. And I was like, I get it. You're using this insane Q weapon. But how did Tom outflank you and outmaneuver you? This is where I'm just baffled by what this interpretation of the continuum is that they've created and why they can't just outthink it or outdo it or change it. Like, this should be like an ever-changing soup of... a universe that they're trying to get through, and all of the humans should be suffocated. There's no way the crew of Voyager made a difference in this war, empowered with Q weapons or not. It's so confusing.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have seen Tuvok in his outfit.
True. Correct. Yes. I take it all back. Totally worth it.
I'm just going to send that Q had socks with sandals and move on to your next one.
It's fair. Absolutely fair. While we're talking about shitty plans that suck, Chakotay's plan also sucks. Wait, don't go into the continuum. Like, if you think about it, why is he taking this insane, incredible risk of taking Voyager into the continuum? What does he think that's going to accomplish? Like, if you'd actually sat down and had this briefing, it would be, man, any of the Q could just snap us out of existence. assuming we survive the supernova, and what are we going to do when we get there? Like, they shouldn't have thought that they were going to be able to contribute to this. They wait until Q decides to bring Janeway back, or he changes course and goes the fuck home.
But I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong because I was definitely multitasking this episode since it was very boring to me. I thought that he was under the, he understood that the continuum was bleeding into our reality and that sort of without them helping the Q solve a problem, nothing was going to matter anyway because the Q's war was going to blow everything up on their side.
Yeah, I think it was, there was a chance that it was going to wreck subspace, which prevents subspace is what they use to get home. I get it, but there's also a level of hubris there where you think that you can help the Q continuum solve its problems. Like, this all comes down to, for me, taking action for the sake of taking action. Like, I don't buy that the risk was worth it for what they should have been able to impact in this civil war between omnipotent energy beings that can snap their fingers and change matter and do whatever. It's utter bullshit.
Yeah,
I just think Chakotay should have stayed put.
If you're facing a situation where you stay put, you're probably going to die anyway, or you try to go in and assist somehow, and you have a Q on board that's pretty confident, you might be swayed to go into a supernova. Maybe.
I still think it's bad leadership. I think it's like, I think he's better off staying put rather than risking the ship by flying it into a supernova.
Imagine that, if they would have actually let Janeway die. Janeway and Q.
Right? It's just and it works. The worst thing is the plan works. Like, they should have gone there, then Q snaps his fingers and they all get back. Because they're back to square one. Best thing I could have done for you.
I'm going to send the puppy. Don't fucking touch an alien puppy, you know?
It's not alien puppy.
You don't
puppy.
Know what it is.
That's fair.
That was a
sudden
Q
puppy. Yeah.
That could have been puppy. Q. That is suddenly appearing on the ship. It's not like her instincts of her survival instincts and her training would go away and she wouldn't hit her little communicator thing and say we have a puppy on board. Something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, don't touch the Q dog.
It's fair. I think it's totally,
you don't know what's going to happen.
How adorable was that puppy? Wasn't it the most?
All puppies are adorable. But
wasn't this one like extra? They got an extra adorable puppy. What are you doing with that dog?
I mean, it's pretty cute. Yeah.
It's fluffy ears. Oh my goodness. Fucking
Spaniel. I think I hate the idea that a very intelligent and experienced woman who is highly suspicious of any strange activity on board sees a puppy and thinks to herself, well, this isn't weird. Let me touch it.
So
let me pick it up and touch it. Let me hold it.
A little bit of context here. Janeway does have a dog that she's left on Earth that is like her best friend. It's her person. And I think this dog is the same breed. So I think he was being extra manipulative with it. Like,
I don't doubt that at all.
Appeared
like,
in your
she's
bedroom.
Tempted, but she's not fucking dumb.
I think you would touch
don't
the puppy.
Don't touch the puppy.
I think you would touch it.
Don't touch the puppy.
You would.
I absolutely would touch the puppy, but I am not a captain.
We've already established starship. Janeway is the captain you would be. I'm sure you would be.
But it is the whole, like, you know, Q's whole point is, at this point, he's like, okay, I'll come clean. I'm lonely, which still isn't the truth. I'm lonely and I want a child to keep me company. That was his next ruse. He wasn't even talking about the war at this point. This is when the episode is still trying to peel the onion back to get to the truth. I'm so lonely. I need to get a living being that's going to take up way more of my time and energy and effort than I could ever imagine.
He is kind of listing all of the reasons you shouldn't have a child. Like, it's going to fix our relationship. It's going to make you love me. I'm bored.
Yeah, exactly. And
I
that
need a
also,
friend. I'm going to make one.
I literally was looking at puppies during this episode and I was like, oh, I probably should.
I've been seen.
So I'm going to sin myself on that one too.
Totally fair.
There's some sinning happening with puppies and that's what I would do.
I would have, like, this would have been such a silly sin, but why are we applauding a supernova? Fuck off. Like, quit it. Like, the episode opens with, like, the big supernova, and I was like, bravo! Well done!
Woo! Like, way to go, space! Fucking,
what are you applauding? Be scientists! Don't applaud at the end of the film. Quit it.
Wow.
Stop that shit.
It's kind of disappointing to know that after all this time that Americans are still
influencing like,
the clapping culture
USA.
Somehow.
Neelix, what are you doing?
Oh my God. So I can't remember when it was. I think it was maybe in the last decade, right? I was on a, I was like, I think I was on a Instagram or something like that, like a site where one of the only social media sites I was on at the time. I think it was Instagram. And it was a video about how to tell when you're with Americans. And I was curious, like, well, what makes us stand apart according to this person? Yeah.
You're present.
But clapping was a big one.
It's a big one.
And I remember reading this article. Wow, that's an American thing?
Yeah.
It gave me such perspective.
Only reason,
and then I go down to the comments. Mm-hmm. Hundreds and hundreds of people are like, yeah, what's with the fucking clapping? And I'm like, oh my God, I have so much work to do on myself.
It's the only time that the English clap is when somebody drops a glass in a bar. And then we all just go, way, well done.
Oh, like it's like a sarcastic like, you dumbass like,
well, way, well done, you're good at your job. That's it. Y'all just clap like everything. When it's Monday.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. Woo! Go me!
I started thinking about my life, how I've been raised.
Mm-hmm. It's actually great. Like, it's affirmatory. It's like, let's go. It's energetic. But it's quite unique to America.
Yeah. So then I thought, okay, if I ever want to blend in, what do I need to do? And so I attempted for the next, and I've been working on it for years, to not clap. It's, you would never know, but secretly up here in my little think tank,
just trying not to,
in my little checklist of things to do, one of them is like, stop it. Like, I used to pick at my face when I was little because that's just how I was. My mom used to pick at my face and then I would pick at my face. It took me years to stop doing it. Biting your nails takes you have to break those habits. I'm happy to say I'm a recovering clapper.
Good for you. And there are times to do it. Woohoo! Let's go!
Yeah!
And there are times to do it, usually at the end of a play. That's about the only time that's acceptable because the people are fucking there to appreciate it. And they actually did some work. Anyway, don't applaud the pilot. It's his job. If he has as much invested in landing that fucking plane as you do, if he doesn't land it, it's a bad day for him or her.
Oh man, if the plane has had a lot of turbulence and we have had a fucked landing and it's like, man, that man did work.
Fair.
I will clap.
Fair.
I will clap.
Absolutely. Yes.
Or if everyone else is clapping, but I do a softer one now where I'm like, I just don't want to perpetuate it. But when I leave the cabin, I'll be like, thank you. And then I'll walk out. That's like a direct
that's a good
eye
contact. Yeah, thank you.
Because usually the captain turns and like watches everybody leave.
Yeah,
probably like,
get off my ship.
Little duckling's like, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, right. They all made it off. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I'm sorry.
I think
back
that's your
to you.
Turn.
Your
no, son. I think it's your turn now.
No.
Why are we applauding a supernova? And then we went into applauding.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's mine. What else did I have? There's so many sins here.
So
with
many.
Like cliches, like a won't take no for an answer cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is bigger than his cliche. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely have those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is quite a meta sin. And this is just, I hope this episode is never watched by aliens in the future or another form of life. Because the amount of hubris and like human love in this episode, it's like we have imagined a species that is omnipotent, immortal, incredible. And we've also imagined that to solve their societal issues, they think the best issue is to breed with a human out of the millions of species in the galaxy and the universe. We think we are the solution to the problem. And I'm like, I get it. We are all the center of our own story. I just don't want anybody to ever watch this that isn't human. The eye rolling that goes, I was like, you're not even the best life form on your planet, let alone in the universe.
Yep. I would send the scene. Now, there is a commercial break, I think, in between like one moment and next, or like a cutaway. But Q is shot. They drag over to the side. And then in the next scene, they're back behind the couch, directly in fire again, but now behind a couch that is apparently like can block them from.
It's a Q couch.
These powerful weapons. And I want to see the missing scene where Janeway decides it's in her best effort to drag Q across the room through line of fire just to get behind the couch when they were already in cover on the side. Now, granted, it's a much better shot and it looks really nice.
Of course, but get him out
it's
of that
dramatic.
Room. Yeah.
And he gets to put his head up against the couch, you know, and rest a bit. So I understand that desire, but I would have an easy sin there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some nonsense we didn't see and it doesn't make sense as well. We would have a "you have to strip Superman of his powers" cliche. As, why bother creating the super powerful beings if you have to then strip their powers? So Lady Q has no powers. Q can now be affected by shit. It's like the fun thing about them, then you strip it away. And I get it, because otherwise you just snap your fingers and literally all the problems are away.
Here's another sin about Q sex.
Let's do it.
He said something. I think he said he can only mate with a species that can copulate. And my sin was, if it's never been done before, then how do you know?
It also seems like such a, like, duh, of course. Like, I can only have sex with beings that can have sex. Yeah,
but like every species reproduces somehow.
It's one of the definitions of life.
Longer.
Yeah, the ability to reproduce. So
by that theory, you could do this with anyone. But like, how do you know that you can only do it with a copulating species if you've never done it before?
Yeah.
If no Q is ever, like, it's just it was confusing. Moving on.
It bends my mind. All of that stuff is mind bending. It really is. I could do a lot of like the cliche sins, but that, I think I've got to the crux of all of my sins, really.
I would definitely also sin, or just do the cliche of another woman, another perspective in media of a woman, like when Q is like, but you're getting old and don't you want to have a baby? And it is really alarming when you pay attention how often a female character is moved toward motherhood. Like, that is the goal. The goal is that you need to have a child in order to have a purpose. Now, like you said at the top, the show is maybe making fun of itself and pointing those things out, and like, it's purposefully doing that, but I still sin it.
Yeah, I'd still sin it because it's there. Like, it's not a, you're hanging a lantern on it, but it's still, there's part of you, do you have a responsibility to not even bring it up? And I'm in two minds about, like, Janeway says, yeah, I would like to have kids, but it's not my priority right now. And I kind of like that they didn't feel obligated to say, I don't want kids, I've never wanted kids. Like, they didn't overcorrect too much. Like, they still say, yeah, of course I want kids, but it's not a priority. It's not in the cards. Like, it's not practical right now. So I'm so split about how they handled that. And I kind of wish Q hadn't gone there. Like, maybe he's watched too many 90s sitcoms.
This sin was brought up in the chat too, but like, it seemed like there was some really cool shit that was done to the Voyager.
Yeah.
You know, like some shields were modulated, some sequences were refitted, and then I don't know if it ever comes up again, but it seems like they created a way to go through into the continuum through a supernova, and I would just think that would be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. Like, B'Elanna says that the shields are 10 times more powerful now, and yet never comes up again. Like, they don't reuse that technology. In the last episode that Q appeared in, I think it's that one or the next one that he appears. Janeway's just like, could you look, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, snap your fingers and get us home? Like, could you just do that? And Q basically says, ah, that's not your journey. And I'm like, well, you give a shit about that. Send him home, Q. Fucking send him home. What do you give it? What do you care? Yeah, send him home. Q should have been the answer. Q should have got Janeway home.
Yeah. Also in the chat were some interesting ones that were kind of related to what you said at the top of the episode about there being like a civil war or a decision for suicide in the previous episode. Mm. So I thought that was interesting. This one from David. The Q Civil War is silly. The Q's following Quinn's philosophy are destined to lose. The other side would just simply choose not to die.
But I think it's bigger than that. And I have this habit of arguing with David in the best way possible. But it's not like that one choice then became a proxy for all of choice. And the continuum has this, like, we're kind of learning, it has this hard line about how things should be. And they're fighting for this ability to choose everything, not just to die, but to exist however they want, and not as part of this continuum, but as individuals. That's what I took them to be fighting for.
Okay. So my question, I think, has been answered, which is, because I don't have some references here because we didn't watch that one for this show, but so Q's can choose to die. But now they don't get a choice in death. It's just, it can happen to them based on
gunfire or whatever.
Well, yeah, they, as part of this war, they were coming up with ways to kill each other, but they didn't, they've never had to do that. And the episode with Quinn, the Q that wanted to become mortal, they mm-hmm. were just like, initially they were like, A, it's not possible, you can't die. And Quinn's just like, I think I do have a way to do it, actually. I can just give up my powers and then I'll... Actually, no, the Q can do that. The Q can strip you of their powers. So he was asking to have his powers removed so that he could die. And they were just like, basically, no, that sets a bad precedent. The Q shouldn't die. The Q should be immortal.
So then is the idea... But then how would they be dying in this episode? If murder. They have to have their powers stripped first.
Murder is...
We don't know.
Murder is different from suicide.
Murder is different. Yeah. So you can murder another Q.
Yes, but you can't kill yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Complicated stuff. Yeah.
Woo! I really like this one from the show, so I'm gonna pop this one up from Nick Sin. The baby who played Q will be turning 28 this year.
Actually, that is incorrect. The twins that played the baby will be turning 28 this year. The Donahue twins.
Oh my god.
That one little scene at the end was two babies.
Yeah, because you have to have two.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for me.
Next week, thank you. That was a rough one, and I'm not gonna say that's the roughest episode that we're going to watch. However, next week, this is our number one most voted episode for the love theme, and we're heading back into the original series. We're going to watch City on the Edge of Forever, which won awards, has critical acclaim, is a classic episode of Star Trek. Until then, get in touch with us in the usual ways, on X or Twitter. It's at CaptainsPodCS. Drop us an email with some audio or words, whatever you want, CaptainsPod@CinemaSins.com, and join us on the CinemaSins Discord, discord.gg/CinemaSin. And until next week, I'm Captain Ian, and I've got to take care of my rickety barge and a half-witted crew.
And my advice is to give up before you embarrass yourself more than you already have.
Ship has sailed. That rickety barge has sailed. Live long.
Okay, hold on. I can go to the other one if you want. Mm-hmm. I'll do the other one. I'll do the other one for you. The real action will always be in sick bay.
Oh, I love the one line that he had in the whole show. Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through CaptainsPod@CinemaSins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Check, 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 check. I over-dramatized that. I'm absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. Oh my god.
Do you have a coffee? Do you have some food in your body?
I have eaten. That was part of why I was a little bit late.
Good. It's acceptable.
I did decide to microwave something, and I...
Yay! I'm so proud!
I hate microwaves, but, you know...
Use the replicator.
You get to a certain point in your life when you need something done quickly,
yes.
and you're like, I have to do this, or I'm going to have a cold this.
Yeah. And the good thing is we have decades of proof that microwaves are beyond safe.
Yeah.
They are useful.
Like, that's right.
This is like not using a car. Like, actually, using a car is way more damaging than using a
right,
microwave.
Exactly.
Far more risk involved.
Yeah. There are some really dangerous things that have happened in recent history where I'm like, wow, we're just like jumping on this, even though we don't have the 10 years of stuff going on. And it's like I can kind of feel it coming, you know, in the next, maybe it's already happening. And since I don't watch live TV, I'm missing out on it. But like the commercials that'll say, if you used such and such vape pen between this date and this date, you're entitled to compensation, you know?
Contact your medical professional immediately.
Yeah, because that always seems to happen after a drug is released, you know, like a medication becomes, like hits. Over here, I don't know, I think it was different when I visited. We didn't watch a lot of TV when I was in England, but...
It's totally, the advertising is totally different. Like, for the vast majority, in fact, we don't have, like, pharmaceutical brands advertising this specific diabetes pill, for example. Like, that was really jarring to me. Because it was like, do you have diabetes? Ask your medical professional for this. It does this, this, and this. And then twice the length of the advert at the end is, may also cause death, dismemberment,
decapitation. Of hearing, loss of joy in life.
Loss of friends. Yeah, exactly.
But then what
may transport you to another dimension.
That's why I'm like, you know what?
I have this other half of a breakfast sandwich that I found in the back of my refrigerator. Don't remember when I got it.
Oh, that's the one I left there. Sorry.
You know what? It has been consumed now. And when you microwave it too long, it doesn't matter anymore because you've just killed
nutrition. That's not how that works.
You've killed bacteria. You've killed virus.
No.
You've killed
your
joy
to live.
That is
not how it works. Yep. Yeah, we'd better get this episode recorded quick because you have about 2 hours of life left.
Before I shit myself to death.
Yeah, before you just shit everything out. Why are your eyes bleeding?
So, okay, I know we're going to do the show and we're going to do the show, but I have to tell you super, super fast that one of my favorite shows is back on TV and I'm really excited about it. It's the Worst Cooks in America is back and I'm super happy.
Oh, that's amazing. Do they have a theme this time?
Yes, Nepo Babies.
What's the theme? No, it's not. That's not the theme. That's the worst. That's the fucking worst. That's so immediately triggering. That's the worst. Why do they need more spotlight?
So it's not exactly that, but it's like that. Those two words describe the season better than anything I can
say. Okay, they haven't titled it Worst Cooks in America, Nepo Baby.
It's spoiled. Like, they're just spoiled people who don't have to
Cook.
There have been people who have referenced that their monthly food bill is someone's mortgage.
That's offensive.
Yeah. Nick, you're not wrong. We are basically the wizards of podcasting. We arrive precisely when we mean to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when things go wrong, we come back as a slightly more powerful version of ourselves on third day in the east. I don't know. Look to me on the third sunset rise of the shadow fox.
Did you just take his look to my coming at first light on the fifth day at dawn look to the east and fuck that up so bad that you just swivel over to shadow fox?
Hi, you fools. Yes. Yes, I did. Dwarves are wasted on cross country. We're natural born sprinters.
Don't look over here. Shadowfax.
I nearly said Artax.
Well, hey, speaking of Lord of the Rings, when you guys download the podcast, we're actually doing another cross promotion with the Lore of the Rings podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you're a major Lord of the Rings geek, I'm not major. I feel like I'm a minor one because I don't remember everything.
No, but really love it though. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, what fantasy lover wouldn't enjoy one of the greatest fantasy books ever written?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't read it in a long time. So I feel like Lore of the Rings peoples would be like, ugh.
Let's just skip the pod and let's just have story time. Let's just go from page one.
Holy shit.
This is my dad's copy of The Lord of the Rings that he got when he was very, very young. It is beat to shit.
Wow.
This is the condition I received it in.
Does
20
that mean you
years
read
ago.
It?
I've read it once, but I didn't. I was very, like, kind of careful with it. And it just smells incredible. It smells like books. Can you smell that, audience? What edition is this? What did it come out? What's that? You know this. You're a book person. Where does it tell you? Oh, there it is. So your family did books.
Yes, we did. When can I start the 30-hour Ian audiobook read on Spotify?
I think the Tolkien estate is fairly litigious. I think they don't like you making money off of their stuff. So I think I would have to change every third word. I don't think I could actually get away with this. I don't think I could actually do it. I've probably read too much already on a live platform. I've been asked to pronounce some things. I can say aluminium because there is an I
aluminium.
In there. Aluminium.
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 Aluminium. The vitamins in aluminium.
There is no aluminium.
Say it.
Aluminum.
You don't say millennium. Millennium.
There are certain words that you realize later on you've been getting wrong for so long. When you said there's an extra I in there the first time, I was like, you're such an asshole. You're just fucking, oh my God, there is.
That's not one that I'm an asshole about. That's a fact. That one's right there.
No new dogs. Thankfully, I have still resisted, but I have to be honest with you, Link, now that you've brought it up. During today's show, I was, spoiler alert, so bored
that I started to look for puppies just for fun.
Wait, so during the episode?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, that does not bode well.
Spoiler alert for today. Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Let me recommend not going on to a site or like an app like Instagram and then starting to look at like, here's how you can make $35,000 a month on your side hustle, because I am so inundated with great ideas of how I can make so much passive income and I'm overwhelmed and I'm in a state of frozen terror on how to make side hustle.
Those side hustle things are such nonsense. Like they're never as easy as it looks. Like if it was easy, then everybody would be doing it.
Is it like the vitamin? It's like the social media of vitamins or something, where like there's like the big vitamin push where, you know, you have to have vitamins. So if you don't have any vitamins, then your body is out of whack. And here's all the way that vitamins impact your life positively. And then there's just like no real backing to it. It's just like one person took a vitamin and felt better one day or something. Like, is it like that for you? Because
I mean, that is equally bullshit. Like you don't need, unless you have a specific vitamin deficiency, you don't need.
So, but I have vitamin. A money deficiency, so like, then, I'm just trying to understand.
Yes, okay, fair. So it's probably not exactly the same. The vitamin thing might actually be worse.
Just a reminder, I'm the doctor, and I can be here because of this mobile emitter. And the real action's in sick bay, so let's go back there, Kes.
Just, why are you here? Why are you in this scene, Kes and Doctor? Go
because
away.
Because they saw the supernova. Yay! Stop.
Yay! Supernova! Woo!
There was a thought from David I wanted to chat about. Okay, here it is.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting thought. Did Q's decision to follow Quinn's philosophy that beings should be able to choose to die ultimately lead to Q's death in Picard?
Love that. Yeah.
It did, right?
It has to. I mean, they don't
that's
reference
so
it.
That's so interesting. Like, this all ties into later.
So that's something that is beautiful and does tie in. But I don't believe that that's what the writers of Picard season 2 were what they had in mind.
So
I don't know if that's
me,
why they did it.
But Q was dying, and the idea is that Q can't die, right?
Of old age.
Or was he kidding? Was he kidding?
Fuck knows. But this is the problem with Picard season 2. There's that post-credit scene where he comes back and talks to Picard's son, and he's just like, "Oh, I thought you died." And Q's just like, "Oh, you think in such linear terms." We don't fucking know.
I forgot about that.
Of old age. And used the last bits of his power to get them home. Who the fuck knows? That's a stupid season. Cameron says, Danae can't have a chihuahua. People with chihuahua energy should not have chihuahuas.
I'm a chihuahua?
I love that so much.
I've never had a chihuahua.
That's great.
My daughter wants one. My daughter wants a chihuahua.
Yeah,
For a couple of reasons. Of course, one of them is because she has a chihuahua toy, and so... Mm-hmm. I think she has an idea in her mind of what a chihuahua would be like.
It's not.
And it's not that. But I have been around both the like stereotypical scary chihuahua, scared chihuahua, and then I've met a few that are so fucking cool. And they're just these tiny little things that just, you know, shake with it. Just there's so much contained in one tiny body.
So much. It's insane.
And I kind of want one. Did you know you can get chihuahua cheese? I don't certainly just
know.
Called chihuahua cheese. It's not like from a chihuahua.
I don't want to know anything more about that.
Q and Q mate in a very similar way to how Vulcans make out, see Sarek and Amanda. What is it with Star Trek and fingering?
Fair.
This one's another thing that I forgot about during the show, too, because I had this thought while I was watching it, is the Civil War was a long time ago for Janeway. So for Q to be saying, hey, here's something that I know you can comprehend. Did she study the American Civil War like intently? Is this why we're seeing it? Because
it's like 500 years ago.
In the show.
Like 500 years ago. It's crazy. It'd be like us talking about something in the 1500s. So you said, this is like, you mentioned Tom, like, was the bastion of, like, reason and, like, had a great moment in this episode. And it would probably hit harder if he wasn't being massaged by a holographic woman while he said it all. Just standing up for the woman's right to say no while, like, just to the left a bit. To the left a bit.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, PD. Way
to
stamp
on
my
your
comment
own point.
During that part of the show was like, wow, light can give a great massage. What was the gray? Q and the gray. What does the gray represent for this episode?
I don't really know. I should really look into that. Maybe it's like a gray area.
Even the gray.
It must be like a play on.
Yeah, it must be a play on like a novel or something, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh. It refers to a Civil War poem entitled "The Blue and the Gray." Maybe?
Oh, the chat is just telling us that. Yeah, David, Wandering Winder. Yeah, The Blue and the Gray is a
That's
Civil War thing.
That's what you should be reading.
Yes, I should have brought that poem.
The Blue and the Gray, I don't know. Is it Finch?
Blue equals Union and the Gray equals the Confederacy.
Yeah, okay, by Finch. Okay, so it's by the flow of the inland river whence the fleets of iron have fled, where the blades of the grave grass quiver, asleep are the ranks of the dead. Under the sod and the dew, waiting the judgment day, under the one, the blue, under the other, the gray. That's how it starts.
That's awesome. I love that we now know that. Thank you, guys. I wish I'd Googled it. Right. In reference to future episodes, Sarah has says, Ian, will we be doing looking for Pahmach in all the wrong places? Ambassador, will you be ready for another Jadzia episode?
I have told you. Yeah, I'm open. I am open to the journey that you are taking me through Star Trek.
Okay.
I think historically, statistically, we're having a good time. Plus, I know that the audience would like for me to have another chance to meet Jadzia. Like,
if I said no
to that, I feel that
yeah,
it would be.
I'm just gonna put you on the spot live.
It would be directly against the purpose of the show if I said no.
For sure. It did have a lot of votes, and it is on the. It was on my list, but I
is
was going to like.
Is it another Worf Jadzia though?
Yes.
God damn it! Don't get distracted. Captain's pod. Enter studio. Update name. Turn on the lights. Turn on the lights.
I don't want to be seen. I'm a monster.
Okay. And hello.